Good day, and welcome to the BrasCement Half Year 2020 conference call with investors and analysts. On this call are Yusuf Dinci, MD CEO, Finn Annington, GCOO, and Chika Jero, CFO. There'll be a question and answer session at the end of today's presentation. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Yusuf Dinci, and thank you for taking time to be part of BrasCement's half year 2020 conference call. Presenting with me on this call today are Mr. Finn Annington, Group Chief Operating Officer for Cement, and Mr. Chika Jero, the Acting Chief Financial Officer. I trust you are all keeping safe and observing all the preventive measures and protocols advised by the health authorities. Over the next few minutes, I will share with you insights covering BrasCement's operations. Therefore, I will request the line to be opened for your questions afterwards. I'm sure you've been given a copy of the presentation that I'm going to go through, and I hope you have gone through, so I will be very brief and also just focus on some of the main highlights. If you kindly turn with me to slide number six, I provide highlights of our activities during the review period. Our value-oriented and focused strategy continues to pay off, underpinning the resilient performance we continue to showcase. The cement volume dispatch increased by 7.91% from 2,282,000 tons in the first half of 2019 to 2,463,000 tons as at the first half of 2020. EBITDA margins remain resilient at 46.8% during the first half of 2020, with EBITDA margin increasing to 48.1% in Q2 from 45.6% we had during Q1 of this year. The free cash flow balance increased from 5.88 billion naira in H1 2019 to 20.62 billion naira as at H1 2020. If you recall, we reported a negative free cash flow balance in Q1 2020 of 3.90 billion naira, which was attributed to the payment for parts and supplies in the wake of the global pandemic. During the quarter, we signed two strategic partnership agreements for the supply of liquefied natural gas and also the management of our mines, respectively. Through this, we leverage on unique competencies that will drive both cost. Through this, we leverage on unique competencies that will both drive cost efficiencies. Despite the uncertain global economic outlook, our optimism is buoyed by resulting opportunities from the pandemic. The resilience of the Nigerian environment, led by the private sector, while also focusing on the recovery framework being instituted by the government. Please turn to slide number seven. You will see how we are creating value amid the low GDP per capita and the market potential. The population in Nigeria 214, growing at the rate of 2.53%, with a very high rate of urbanization, but also with a big deficit in housing and infrastructure. In general, cement consumption in Nigeria remains very low, even when considered from a population and infrastructure deficit standpoint, which are the major drivers. However, through our value-oriented approach alongside our service offerings, supported by the continued focus on governance, continued improvement and sustainability, these are enduring enablers, we will continue to endear customers to our products, thereby guaranteeing increasing market acceptance and profitability. Turning to slide 8, you get an overview of BrasCement. Today, we are the largest producer of cement within the South, South, Southeast, and Northwest regions of the country. We operate across two states in Nigeria, Edo and Sokoto, using best-in-class production facilities and continue to maintain a capacity utilization rate above 60%. During the first half of 2020, The total volume dispatched was 2,462,000 tons of cement, which translated to 101 billion naira in sales. Furthermore, we are the third most capitalized company on the floor of the Nigerian Stock Exchange, with a market capitalization of 1.31 trillion naira. Sustainability is pertinent to our operation and growth strategy. Thus, ensuring our footprints records minimal impact on the environment while opening up economic opportunities for communities and positive impact to the society. Additionally, our sustainability initiatives are guided by global standards and our sustainability governance framework. As we go through this presentation, we will share with you some of our scorecard on some of these activities. Slide 9 showcases our evolution over the years. And for those of us that were with us during the first presentation, we have gone through the history in which we adopted a disciplined approach to flawlessly execute our growth up to where we are now. Turning to slide number 10, we also highlight our strategic positioning across Nigeria, both in Sokoto and in Edo State, using 4 production plants with a total installed capacity of 8 million metric tons per annum. However, plans are underway to increasing the existing capacity by 3 million metric tons in Kalambaina, Sokoto State, which will be commissioned during the first half of 2021, thus bringing intended capacity to 11 million tons per annum. Given these positioning efforts, we are not only well-placed to satisfy demand, but also able to showcase the value imbued in our product offerings, which remains the hallmark of our brand. Slide 12 is an overview of the macro environment during the first half of 2020. Brent crude was up 80.96% from $22.74 a barrel in March 2020 to $41.15 a barrel as at June 2020. This is supported by production costs from OPEC and its allies, along with renewed demand for oil due to an uptick in economic activities globally. The naira further depreciated by 0.1% in the month of June to 385 naira 84 kobo to a dollar from the 385 naira 5 kobo to a dollar in March 2020 due to increased demand for the dollar. While we await the release of economic data for the second quarter, we will point out that the Manufacturing and Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, released by the CBN, points to continued contractions, even in the month of June. Turning to slide 13, we showcase the result of our resilient performance for the first half of the year. Cement volume dispatched increased by 7.9% from 2,282,000 tons in the first half of 2019 to 2,463,000 tons as at first half of 2020, resulting to a 12.7% increase in sales revenue from 89.86 billion naira in the first half of 2019 to 101.26 billion naira as at the first half of 2020. EBITDA and operating profit rose by 5.8% and 7.0% year on year to 47.36 billion and 40.81 billion naira respectively, though EBITDA margins declined to 46.8%. Despite the reported decline, a quarterly review reveals EBITDA margin rose from 45.62% in Q1 2020 to 48.08% as at Q2 2020 due to cost containment efforts and higher pricing during the second quarter. The net financing cost declined 33.5% from 2.47 billion naira in first half 2019 to 1.64 billion naira as first half 2020, a result of lower borrowing costs. The profit before tax was up 9.8% to 39.2 billion naira from increased operational activities, while profit after tax also increased by 13.7% to 34.82 billion naira. Amid the uncertain economic environment, Slide 15 highlights how the fusion of discipline and execution was supportive of our performance. On a pattern assessment, EBITDA expanded during the second quarter by 8.16% or 1,512 naira per ton as at Q2 2020 compared to the first quarter of 2020. If we now turn to slide 16, we highlight the cost components of our operations. Cost of sales per ton increased by 10.87% to 19,968 naira per ton as at the end of the first half of 2020 due to increased output capacity and higher energy costs. Given the devaluation of the naira, we reported a 9.32% increased energy cost to 9,234 naira per ton as at the end of the first half of 2020, having recorded an exchange rate movement from 306.5 naira to 360 naira 50 kobo. With the intended changes to our energy mix, as earlier highlighted, we expect the efficiency gains to improve our cost profile and margins. Expectedly, our distribution cost rose by 1.95% to 2,596 naira 72 kobo per ton during the period under review, in line with our strategic focus of increasing and sustaining footholds in existing markets, and also moving into new markets. On slide 17, what we have shown here is the evolution of the cash flow and net debt as at the end of the first half of 2020. Free cash flow balance increased from 5.88 billion naira in H1 2019 to 20.62 billion naira as at the end of the first half of 2020, led by a 141.20% increase in net cash flow from operations to 63.82 billion naira. If you recall, we reported a negative cash flow position of 3.9 billion naira during the first quarter of 2020. Consequently, net debt balance reported a revision from a positive debt balance of 5.84 billion at the end of the full year 2019 to a negative net debt balance of 12.99 billion as at the end of the first half of 2020. During our last conference call, we highlighted the identified priorities for the year. If you go through slides 18 to 21, our scorecard on these priorities are highlighted. Slide 20 focuses on the sustainable development goal pillars guiding our sustainability initiatives alongside the achievements for the period. We remain an ambitious, conscious institution, and through our modern plans and best practices, our activities remain below international standards. For instance, our particulate emission remains below the prescribed limit. On societal impact, some of our activities cost through healthcare and education, with the funding and equipping of hospitals, healthcare centers, and schools, providing scholarships to students, electrification, and access to clean water for the community, training members of the community under our skill acquisition program, and providing startup grants to some of these individuals under our empowerment program. It may please you to note that in Sokoto State, we are taking the responsibility of fully funding a primary school, thus ensuring these children are not only kept in school but have a pathway to a desired future. Focusing on other priorities, we continue to make good progress. The development on our Columbina Line 3 plant is on schedule. We maintain traction in our push to new markets while receiving export permit for limited quantities of exports. Synergy gains are gradually coming together. Currently, we are benefiting from the gains of an enlarged entity in terms of revenue synergies. We are now working on the operational synergies phase. We will continue to provide you with updates. Looking ahead, we remain upbeat despite the weight of uncertainty, primarily because of the opportunities inherent in moments of crisis. If anything else, it enables us to expand our value and service offering. This concludes the first half of the year 2020 performance review. I will now request for the lines to be open so that we can take your questions. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. We will now open the lines for questions. To ask a question, please press 0 on your phone's keypad. That's 0 to ask a question and 7 to cancel a question request. Thank you. Your first question is from Wale. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Your first question is from Janet Ogunkoya. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. So my question, I have about three questions. The first is, so can you hear me clearly? I feel like I'm echoing.
Well, it's also, go ahead.
All right, thank you. So my first question will be on exports. I don't know if you could give us an update on that, if you've been doing exports. Because, I mean, I learned that maybe Boag actually started, at least in the north, that you started exporting, you resumed exports again. So if you could please give us an update on that. And then also would be, in the liabilities, we saw that there was an increase in due to related party loans. I don't know if you could also give details on that as well. And then also, you mentioned some things about optimizing your energy mix. I don't know if you have any plans on that. If you could share with us, considering the impact of the devaluation on gas price, you could give an update, what your plans are to try and optimize your energy costs going forward. I think that will be all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. You asked three questions. I will answer two, and then I will ask our CFO to answer the second one, which is on the liabilities due to related parties that has increased. Regarding the export, during the month of June, we received an approval for limited export to Niger Republic from our so-called plant through the Lela border, which we carried out successfully. The Nigerian land borders still remain shut. So this was a one-off thing we received, but we hope to get more subsequently during this quarter. Regarding the optimization of the energy mix, we have signed a contract with a company called Greenville LNG to convert our production facilities in Sokoto to be using liquefied natural gas. This is going to come from Port Harcourt in LNG tankers, and we are building a regasification plant in Sokoto that will convert the liquid back to gas, and that will be used in both our power plant and also in our kiln. The kiln is the furnace that produces our intermediate product called clinker. So these two areas will use LNG in the very near future. Chike, can you respond to the question?
On the increase of due to related parties. If you notice from our PPE schedule, you will see that we have brought in our Kalambaina Line 3 under capital work in progress. About 40 billion was capitalized, and we have earlier said that the financing will come partly from APC and partly from shareholders' loan. So the shareholder loan comes from Buai International, that happens to be a related party. So it's part of the financing that Buai International granted for the construction of the Calambina Line 3 that was brought in within the half year. So that's what accounted for the increase. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Oluwaseun Arambada from Meristem Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this call. I just have a few questions here to ask. The first one will be on prices. Could you please give us an idea of what average ex-factory prices were in the first half of the year? My second question will be, as regards taking advantage of the low interest environment, should we expect the company to be coming to the market to raise some capital, especially now that you have an ongoing expansion project on? Should we be expecting the company to come into the market to take advantage of that low interest environment? Also, I have a question on the we saw news some time ago that the company is intends on building a new plant in Adamawa. I would appreciate if we could just get guidance as to where the company is with that. I also have a question on exports, but I think you clarified. I wanted to ask that if the company will be getting authorization for further exports going forward into the second half of the year. I think that wraps it for my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I didn't get your name correctly. Did you say Shegun or Sheun? The acting CFO will give the ex-factory prices and also the low interest loans. Regarding Adamawa, I will like to direct your questions to, you should direct your questions to Boa Group. They are championing this initiative for the expansion in Adamawa. For the export, yes, we are very hopeful. We are going to get more permits to carry our cement to Niger Republic. Like I mentioned earlier, we were given a one-off thing for a limited quantity, which we exhausted in June. But we are optimistic this is going to continue during Q3 through the land border of Ilela from Sokoto State into Niger Republic. Mr. Achike, can you respond on the prices?
In the S factory price is about around 44,000 naira per ton within the first half of the year. Then on the financing, for now, we have already structured the financing for our Calambina Line 3. The financing will come partly from equity and partly from a shareholder's loan. That's Boa International. And we equally have a loan, a four-year loan from one of the banks at a very good interest rate that we are using to finance the construction. So if, like you mentioned, Adamawa, project, if eventually is approved for construction, we'll explore other cheaper funding for financing our expansion. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Kende Adio from Lotus Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I want to check status of your plants, Sokoto Ubu, the line 2 in Sokoto line 3 and the Ubu plant. Also, I want to know if you have plans to increase your float fund, because I can see that it's below the free float of the NFC. So are there plans to offer shares to the public? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kehinde. Regarding the issue of float, That is one of the reasons why we are having this call, so that people will be sensitized. We are committed to meeting our free float deficiencies in due course, and plus are on the way to religious, either in block or to the public. Mr. Chike, can you also respond on the tax status for lines 2 and 3?
Line 2, I didn't get the question, sir.
The
tax status of line 2.
Yes. In Obu.
Line 1 in Obu is still under pioneer status extension, which will expire in 2021, while line 2 in Sokoto is equally under pioneer exemption. Now, three years pioneer exemption that started in 2019. It will expire January 2022. While Obu line 2, we are still expecting the approval for the pioneer status. Then Sokoto line 1 is not under pioneer. It has been in existence for a lot of, so that's the status of our plant.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
Thank you. Your next question is from Suru Daniels. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. And let me start by commending the very clearly progressive growth that BUA has recorded in this half year. I wanted to find out, it looks to me like the company has successfully found a way to manage its selling and distribution costs despite the difficulties in the economy. Can we expect that this will be a continuous thing? That is on one hand. On the other hand, and the other question is that considering the impact of FX on your gas supply agreement, is there any plan to localize those contracts? Since the suppliers are local, is there any plan to negotiate those contracts in Naira as against doing them in dollars? I believe that this will have long-term sustainability impact on costs. So I'll be happy if you could please speak to this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, indeed, we intend to continue with our selling and distribution costs optimization. So you will see the kind of strategies and policies we have put in place will be sustained in the near future. Regarding the denomination of the contract for the gas supply from dollar to naira, these contracts were signed a long time ago and they are long-term contracts. Of course, payment is always in naira. So, but the exchange rate, of course, when it fluctuates, we bear the impact. This we have not passed on to the consumers at all. At the beginning of the year, we are paying 305 naira to a dollar for the gas price, and now we are paying 360 as at the end of June to a dollar. So, of course, if it is possible to renegotiate, we will try. But like I said, these contracts were signed a long time ago, and they are long-term contracts. Thank you.
Also, petroleum products are normally priced in dollars. It's just like we are having fuel now, that government keep on changing the prices based on the international price of the products. So it's normally done that the pricing for the gas is denominated in foreign currency dollar. So it's the exchange rate devaluation that the central bank recently did within the half year that affected the change. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Mohammed Abdurazak. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to make this presentation to all. The question I had, again, was just around exports. Obviously, the border is currently shut, and you've got some special approvals to exports to Niger. But on a long-term basis, assuming that the border is open, how much demand is the group seeing from Niger in relation to its plant in Sokoto? So obviously, given the plant is producing around, has a capacity of about 2 million metric tons, and you know, assuming the capacity utilization of 60 to 70%, how much demand does the group see coming from Niger, you know, over the next couple of years? Or, you know, I think I just want to get some insights on that. And are you also seeing demand from Benin as well? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mohammed Abdurazak. The demand coming in from Niger, what we try to do is that the Nigerian market is our priority. It's our first priority. We have to satisfy the demand in Nigeria. What we are selling is the excess production that we have. So as long as we are not so clear about the actual demand in Nigeria, we will not be able to put a number or a figure to how much we are going to export. So we will see, and also we have to see when the restrictions are lifted and the borders are fully opened. Because like I said now also, it was a one-off thing we got, and we hope to get more. So with that, you cannot really say this is how much you are going to export. We are being given the approval in batches. Regarding Benin Republic, no, we don't have any plans to export to Republic of Benin.
Yusuf, maybe I can add just a comment.
Yes, Mr. Benin.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. You know, concerning the export here, as the MD is communicating, of course, it's mainly based upon excess capacity from the domestic operations. But, I mean, the market in Niger for us is generally very interesting because there you talk about, you know, the French-speaking Africa has a pretty high growth, very much supported by the European Union. So there's a lot of public projects, even now, still going on in these countries, and particularly Niger and Burkina Faso. So we talk about sustainable volumes up there, and today is around the market is around 1 million tons, so it's quite interesting for Sokoto to penetrate further into that market, and also to expand into the other, let's say, Umoa countries like Burkina Faso, even though they are very much protected between the borders, you know, in the French-speaking West Africa. But it's still a lot of potential as long as Sokoto Cement is the first north integrated cement plant in West Africa. All these others, you know, into Burkina Faso is based upon import. Everything is imported. So for the future, when these border things is over and also we get more capacity, it could be a great, great opportunity for Sokoto Cement there. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Fumi Soli. Please go ahead.
Hello. My first question really is I wanted to understand the amount that was exported in June. What exactly was exported? What did you get approval from? Second question is on your gas contract. Are there plans to have pipelines in that area, or how is the gas going to be transported?
Thank you very much, Fumi. We exported 200 trucks. It came towards the last week of June. 200 trucks of 40 tons each. That is 8,000 tons. That was the approval we got, and we exported it fully. The gas pipelines, we do not presently have any gas pipeline running up to Sokoto. We have seen Mr. President sign the contract for the Ajaokuta, Kano, Kaduna gas pipeline. Of course, that will offer us some relief when completed. But at the moment, the gas will be made available in Sokoto in liquid form. That means there is a liquefaction plant in Port Harcourt owned by a private company, and they will produce LNG, and they will put it in cryogenic tankers that will go all the way from Port Harcourt to Sokoto. The liquid natural gas will be offloaded into storage tanks, and then we have a series of evaporators that will convert it back to gaseous form, and then we have a short pipeline to our equipment. So that is how we intend to get gas down to our equipment in Sokoto. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Moses Ngujuna. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for hosting this call. I'm very new to the company, so I have quite a number of questions. So the first one would be on what's your current fuel mix across your different plants? And you've just said that you want to mitigate against the use of gas because prices are increasing due to the devaluation of the Naira. So I'd just like to get an idea of, you know, what's your target fuel mix and the timeline in terms of achieving that target fuel mix. That's the first part. The second part is in relation to Sokoto Line 3. You just said about the shareholder loan that, you know, provides part financing. I'd just like to get an understanding of how much or the percentage of the total capex of that project, how much the shareholder loan is. In addition, are there any salient details in relation to that? Are you going to pay a certain interest rate in relation to that shareholder loan? You also mentioned that there will be a four-year loan from one of the banks at a good interest rate. Could you give us more information on that, if possible? The fourth question will be in relation to the free float. You say that, you know, that will happen in due course, either through, you know, blogs or, you know, selling shares to the public. But is there a timeline to this? You know, does the regulation from the NSC provide timeline to attaining of the minimum free float in the NSC? Yeah, I think that's all the questions I have at the moment.
Thank you very much, Moses. I didn't quite get what your first question was. But regarding the second question on Sokoto Line 3, the shareholder loan is going to account for 50% of the total capex. And the capex is not only on the cement plant itself. We also have a power plant. We have land acquisition. We have resettlement of villages to pave way for building the factory. We also have resettlement of villages for the quarry expansion. So it's quite a big package. Regarding the free float requirement, yes, we are aware of the NSE timeline, and we are working towards meeting that. And we will meet it, in fact, far ahead before the timeline expires. So the process has commenced. We have done a roadshow with potential investors, and yeah, it's very positive. So start seeing some offloading of the shares very soon. Mr. Chike, I don't know whether you got the first question, and you can respond to that, or Mr. Finn. Thank you.
It's the last question when that he asked about the loan that is for 4 years, tenor loan that I mentioned initially. If you look at our statement of a financial position, you will see that we have about 26 billion naira short-term finance. So that short-term finance has been restructured to a loan for 4 years to give us at least cushion for our working capital requirements so that we will not be under pressure. So that's the amount that I was referring to when I said the loan that we received from one of the banks will last for 4 years. So in our next financial presentation, that short-term loan will eventually disappear. Instead of having that short-term, it will answer to a long-term loan of 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Emmanuel Olutoki. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, yes, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you for the presentation. Most of the questions have been attended to, but one last one is about the Ogun Opela plant in Edo State, the main site. I understand that the case is still in court and you might not be able to say much, but can you just give us like a guidance as regards the impact it will have, whether positive or negative, whichever way the case go on your bottom line? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Emmanuel. Like we have mentioned separately, we do not comment on the specifics of the court case because it is before a court of competent jurisdiction. We have other mines, and not all of them are in use at the moment. So we do not foresee any impact, whether the ruling goes in our favor or against us. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Bulahon Olugoro. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for hosting this conference call and taking my question. So I joined a little bit late, so pardon me if some of my questions may have been answered. So the first is an insight into sales volumes in Q2 compared to Q1. Then the second is it would be nice if you can provide information on average capacity utilization on a geographical basis. Then the last question is with regards to the liquidity challenges in the FX market, have you been able to source for FX for your cost noted in USD? That will be all for now.
Thank you very much. The figures we have already given for the first half of the year, we have done 2,462,000 tons in sales, and I can't remember exactly for the Q1, but I think the CFO will give us that figure. The average capacity utilization across our production lines is more than 60%. On a geographical basis, I don't have those figures because we don't do it is based per plant. But what we have given you is the average for all the four lines that are operating. So and that is quite high by Nigerian standard. Mr. Chike, you will also respond to the question on the Forex sourcing. Thank you.
Yeah. Our dispatch for Q1 was 1,328,000 tons, while for Q2 we dispatched 1,134,000 tons. Then on the Forex, we have a minimal use of foreign exchange because most of our raw material is sourced locally, especially limestone, which is the basic raw material that we use. It's only few raw materials like gypsum that we import, and our bankers have been supporting us very well in sourcing the forex, although it's not that easy as it used to be, that you have to undergo series of bidding before you will be successful. So, but we have not had any negative impact of the forex non-availability in our operation for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from Tony Hadley. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for the call. Firstly, just a comment. Congratulations on your CO2 per ton of cement figure. It's excellent, very much best in class, and puts a lot of existing players to shame. Well done. You just mentioned your utilization factor is around about 60%. Watching the Nigerian market quite carefully, we see utilization, as you mentioned, below that figure on an average. We see price progressively slipping down, not spiraling down over the period. I assume your increase in price is perhaps due to mix between South or mid-belt and northern pricing. So how do you see the market share dynamics and also the pricing dynamics, given firstly the fact that a lot of your costs are effectively dollar-based, cement is fundamentally an energy and heavy capex business. So how do you see the price evolving in the context of fast devaluing Nigerian Naira, your commitments to build new plants, which probably will suffer from low utilization? So could you talk about the competitive dynamics and the rationale for planning more capacity, introducing more capacity, and how you plan to recover your dollar profitability?
Thank you very much, Mr. Tony. You are asking a question from a well-informed point of view. Okay, I will try to answer your questions, and Mr. Finn will also come in. Yes, capacity utilization. I believe probably we have the highest capacity utilization within the industry. The market share dynamics, as all of us are very aware, it is sometimes very difficult to know where all this cement is going geographically speaking, because most of the cement plants, they have two methods of selling the cement. We have the ex-factory and we have the company delivery. The company delivery, we can track 100%. We know where we are delivering, and we have a good understanding of the volumes going into that market. For the self-collection, whereby the customer either hires a third-party truck or uses his own truck, and he can take the cement anywhere because he has set ex-factory price, we do not have a very good pick of where this cement is going. So the market share dynamics is a bit gray at the moment. The cement prices in Nigeria, less than $100 a ton, as we are aware. In the African continent, you have West African continent much higher than that, $120, $140 a ton. So definitely, we do not foresee that prices are going to go in a southward direction in the near future, because also with all the development plans and the spendings by government on infrastructure, vis-à-vis the capacities, we are very, very optimistic that by continuing to invest, we are going to recover our costs. That is why we are taking decisions wherever we see an opportunity, we are going to put it. Yes, the value of the dollar and the vis-a-vis the Naira and the depreciation of the Naira is quite worrisome, because we generate most of our income in Naira, and then the new plants have been financed almost wholly in dollar terms. But we believe the situation is going to stabilize in the near future, once we get over this pandemic and the oil prices recover, and there are also alternative sources of forex coming into the country, not only from the oil sector, but also from the non-oil sector. So we hope with an appreciation of the Naira, we will not feel much of the impact of the devaluation of the Naira based on the projects and other commitments that are dollar-denominated, and other inputs like the gas pricing that is dollar denominated. Thank you very much. Mr. Finn, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, maybe, Tony. Hello. Nice to hear your voice again. Yeah, just a comment. I mean, the Nigerian market is quite remarkable because, I mean, even though we have this crisis, you can see in other West African countries that you have dropped in the consumption. But as you have seen also in reports from the other guys, if you summarize it, we have a growth this year compared to last year. In 2019, we had around 77% increase. So despite all these relatively bad news, still this market is moving. And the big question here is why? And we have assessed this quite a lot. And of course, already when this low consumption per capita in Nigeria has already absorbed a lot of uncertainties. So some additional bad news really don't have much impact on this. And we have also seen a much more drive into the rural areas than the traditional markets in the big cities. And that is also reflected, you know, towards the public and the private consumers. Traditionally, public consumption has been almost half of the consumption in the country. Today, it's down to 20-25%. So it's a big drive in the private segment here, which is to the benefit for all the players. And you also asked the question about our kind of a strategy. Why do we consider to put off more production lines like what we announced in Adamawa? You know, as you know, it takes 3-4 years before you have built a cement plant. And we all believe that Nigeria still will grow, even though we cannot tell how much. But if you just talk about roughly 5-10% a year here, you talk about more or less a new production line every year. And it's not many production lines under construction, apart from what we are doing, and also apart from Dangote is doing one in Ubajana. So it's a very long-term project in order to strategize growth in the cement business here. So we all feel that the market will move. We will be part of it. We will have an aggressive approach to this and take more market share. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the question and answer session. I'll hand the call back to the management team for any closing remarks.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please.
Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this call. I look forward to you joining us on our next conference call. Thank you, and have a nice day.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. That concludes the Boa Cement Half Year 2020 conference call with investors and analysts. You may now hang up.